Welcome to the Growth.me summary of Two Cell is Human by Daniel Pink. Two Cell is Human is about non-sales selling or how to persuade others. Daniel Pink argues that sales skills are more essential than ever before because moving others has become a part of most careers and businesses. His advice centers on the new ABCs of selling, which are attunement, buoyancy, and clarity. The online reviews on Amazon, this book has 4.5 stars, and on Goodreads it has 3.9 stars. Positive reviewers found the book to be a collection of useful tips, generally based on interesting psychological studies. But there were some critical reviewers who felt the author dismissed traditional selling strategies too quickly, even though he was never in sales himself. So this is a book about selling written for everyone, not just salespeople. Wait, what? Daniel Pink argues that selling is a part of our everyday lives. We do it whenever we persuade others to part with their resources. Their resources like their time, effort, or money. And that means we're actually selling every time we're lead or managing others, or whenever we share an idea at a meeting, or even when we negotiate with family members. And when you look at it that way, selling is a critical skill for all of us to succeed in our careers and lives. It's also essential for entrepreneurs who must sell their idea to investors, their vision to team members, and of course, their product to customers. Now, personally, I've run a couple of small online businesses, and sales has always been an important part of my own income. However, I have not done much face-to-face selling. Instead, I've learned how to sell through writing, and that skill is called copywriting. It's been described as sales in print. So I'm going to be adding some of my original insights throughout this summary of To Sell is Human. Really quickly, who is Daniel H. Pink? He's the author of many best-selling books on psychology and human behavior. Altogether, he's written 7 books that have sold millions of copies around the world. And before that, he was the chief speechwriter for the U.S. Vice President Al Gore. So in this book, lesson number one is non-sales selling. Almost all of our jobs now involve moving others in some way. Contrary to popular belief, selling is not dead. Almost 1 out of every 9 workers in the United States is still employed in sales, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. But even more importantly, most workers in other professions are spending more of their time moving others. That means convincing or persuading other people to do something, which is a type of selling, even if we don't usually look at it that way. Now, I noticed that some people who reviewed this book online disagreed with that new definition of selling. People said, persuasion is persuasion, but sales is sales. It's quantifiable, so like you can count the money at the end of the conversation. And many of those commenters were real-life salespeople, so I cannot argue with what they were saying. Maybe they have a good point. But Daniel Pink talks about non-sales selling, and he says 3 trends explain the rise of this. First, there are more small businesses and startups existing today. That's largely thanks to the internet, which has lowered the barrier to entry for entrepreneurship. I mean, just look at how easy it is to start an eBay store or an Etsy store. And if you do that, you're going to have to know how to sell in some way. A second trend is are jobs requiring more flexible skills, including sales-related skills. So more jobs than ever require skills that cross boundaries. No longer is someone just an assistant, they need to persuade others over email. Maybe no longer is someone just a programmer, they also need to understand customer needs, which is a part of sales. And a third trend is the rise of health and education. These are the fastest growing sectors in the US economy, and both of these types of jobs involve persuasion, like convincing students or patients to do what's best for them. Now, my favorite example of non-sales selling comes from another author named Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote the best-selling book Rich Dad Poor Dad. Well, one day, Kiyosaki was being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asked him advice on how to become a best-selling author. So Kiyosaki told her to study sales and marketing, and those are skills that professional writers often look down on. And he gave this example. After he wrote his first book, the publisher wanted to name it The Economics of Education. And he felt that was such a boring name, and with that name, he believes the book would have only sold 2 copies. Instead, he called it, If You Want to Be Rich and Happy, Don't Go to School. And that book went on to sell tons of copies, because it grabs people's attention, and it's a little controversial, which is great for publicity. It's all a part of him learning sales, and that's how he became a best-selling writer. You can learn more of Kiyosaki's ideas in our summary of his best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But to summarize this first lesson, most of us are not traditional salespeople, but sales-related skills are more important than ever. Why? Because of 3 trends. The rise of mass entrepreneurship, the rise of jobs that require multiple skills that include selling, and the rising sectors of health and education. Now, lesson 2 is serve others. Modern selling is not about pressure, but making other people's lives better. It's no secret that salespeople have a bad reputation. In fact, in a large survey conducted by this author, he found that most people connect the word sales with an image of a pushy used car salesman. And there's probably some truth to that. Salespeople of the past could get away with being more deceptive because people relied on them for access to information about the product. And those older salespeople could use high-pressure tactics and get away with it because individual customers did not have much power to complain. But today, selling has changed because of the internet. That's probably the biggest factor. Everyone has lots of access now to more product information than ever before, including product reviews, ratings, and comparisons. And if they have a bad experience with a business or salesperson, they can leave a bad review online that's read by hundreds of people. And because of that, we must change how we approach sales, and we must sell in a way that offers value and service to others, not in a way that tries to take something of value from them. So to offer exceptional service, Daniel Pink offers 2 tips. First tip is always keep in mind the person who you're helping. Daniel Pink shares 1 study where hospital specialists were able to find 5 times as many problems in medical scans when they were shown a photo of the patient's face at the same time. So when they were aware of how they were personally helping someone with their work, they were much more effective. And in my own experience, one of the best pieces of selling advice I've ever heard for copywriting and advertising is to imagine that you are writing to just 1 person, not a crowd of people. So while you're writing, you create a clear mental image of 1 target customer, and then you write directly to that 1 person. That tip definitely helped me to make a living from online business for over a decade. And the second tip for exceptional service is connect your work to a noble purpose or cause. All of the salespeople that Pink interviewed said that you need to believe in your product, that it sincerely helps to improve customers' lives. Pretty much none of them believe that a salesperson could sell any product. Now, one of the most popular personal development books of all time is called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And in that book, the 10th principle of influence is appeal to the nobler motives. What that means is whenever people do anything, they have both selfish and unselfish motivations for doing it. For example, a millionaire who donates money to a hospital may want other people to suffer less, but they may also like to see their name on the building. So there are both selfish and unselfish motivations. However, when we are persuading other people, it's better if we only mention those unselfish and noble motivations, because they're going to easily think of those selfish reasons for doing it anyway, so we don't even need to mention those. Now, you can read more tips like that in our summary of How to Win Friends and Influence People on growth.me. But to summarize this lesson, sales has changed because now the internet gives everyone access to product information and reviews. That means good selling has become about offering service. So always keep in mind the person you're helping and make sure their life is improved after the sale. Lesson 3 is get in tune. Great salespeople understand the buyer's perspective by really listening. So the core practical part of this book are what Daniel Pink calls the new ABCs of selling. And those are attunement, buoyancy, and clarity. Let's talk about that first one. Attunement. It's about being in tune with the person you're talking to, which means understanding what they're thinking and feeling. Now, the best modern book on negotiation is probably Never Split the Difference, written by Chris Voss, the FBI's former lead kidnapping negotiator. And he said the first most fundamental part of being a good negotiator is also listening. Even when he was talking with robbers and criminals, his goal was always to get them talking about what they need, and that meant making them feel safe to talk and to slow down the conversation so they would feel heard. So whether in negotiation or sales, it's key to do that listening. You can learn more in our summary of Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Now, while it's impossible for us to truly see inside another person's head, there are some proven tools we can use to increase our empathy or attunement. Here are a few that Daniel Pink discusses. First is humility. Studies show that when people are told to assume they are lower status in a situation, then they can better see the world through the eyes of others. On the other hand, someone who feels higher status won't make the same effort, probably because they don't need to. A second way is imagination. Studies show thinking and imagination may be even more important than feeling for getting in tune with others. For example, the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, always made sure that every meeting at Amazon had an empty chair to represent the customer so that all the executives and employees at the meeting could imagine the customer being there better. And on growth.me, we have a summary of the most popular biography of Jeffrey Bezos, which is called The Everything Store. And in that book, it's clear he is always emphasizing the supreme importance of keeping the customer in mind rather than focusing on the competition, as most entrepreneurs do. And with that customer focus, Amazon became the pioneer of many website features that we now take for granted, like customer reviews and personalized recommendations. Okay, and the third way to get more attunement is improvisation. Daniel Pink shares three rules from improv theater that can help us. First rule is to listen carefully for small signals, like you could wait 5 seconds before responding to someone as an exercise. Second rule is to respond with yes and, which means that means you're adding to what other people say rather than rejecting it quickly. And the third rule is helping others win, because then you also win, whether you're in a theater or a sales meeting, so you help others win and make them look good. Now, a few years ago, I did a class in improvisation theater, and that involved meeting weekly with about a dozen other people and doing all kinds of strange exercises to help us speak more spontaneously. And at the end of it all, we did a show for a small room of friends and family. It was kind of like being in a theater performance, but without any script, which is kind of crazy. The most important lesson that I learned from that improv theater was that you can create something entertaining, like a story out of thin air, but you always need to be paying careful attention to what other people are doing on the stage, like all the little cues and signals and suggestions that they're offering, whether with their words or vocal tonality or body language. And I noticed that if you stop listening for even a moment, then you're going to miss those cues and probably not know what to say next, which is really awkward when you're on a stage. Well, in a similar way, sales is also often about hearing those little signals that the prospect is telling you, especially about why they are saying no or why they are not yet buying. And when you hear those signals, like what parts of the offer they're hesitant about, then you can better offer the appropriate response to overcome their objections. So to summarize this lesson, attunement is understanding other people's thoughts, feelings, and perspective. You can get better at this through deliberate listening, like try pausing 5 seconds before you reply to someone, or maybe through pretending that you're lower status, or just imagining what the world looks like through their eyes, or you can do an improv technique like responding with yes and rather than rejecting what they say. Now, lesson four is stay afloat. Every successful salesperson must swim over the ocean of rejection. Probably the most fascinating person interviewed in To Sell Is Human is a guy called Norman Hull, who's the last door-to-door salesperson working for a company called Fuller Brushes. He spends hours every day walking up and down the hilly streets of San Francisco trying to sell brushes, but often facing an ocean of rejection. And it's interesting that people in his job, there used to be tens of thousands of them, but now there's only one left working for this company. And that really illustrates how selling has changed over the last 50 to 70 years. Now, one of the most popular sales teachers of the last few decades is probably Brian Tracy. And in his book, The Psychology of Selling, he wrote, "The fastest way to increase your income is simple. It is the key to success in selling. Here it is. Spend more time with better prospects." That six-word formula is the recipe for high income in every market. End quote. So let me repeat that. Spend more time with better prospects. What Brian Tracy means is that too many salespeople are unsuccessful simply because they spend too little time each day talking with prospects, which is the main part of the job. Some studies claim the average is less than 1.5 hours per day. So what is really holding most salespeople back is more psychological. They procrastinate and they resist contacting prospects because of a fear of rejection. You can learn more about selling in our summary of the great book, The Psychology of Selling by Brian Tracy on growth.me. But how do we overcome that fear of rejection that holds so many of us back? Well, here are two of the tips that Daniel Pink offers based on psychology. First, we can adopt an optimistic explanatory style. And here's what that means. When you fail or don't succeed, you're always explaining the causes of that failure to yourself. And you can either explain each failure in an optimistic way that energizes you, or in a pessimistic way that demoralizes you. The optimistic way is to see each setback as being something that is temporary and non-personal. Like maybe the person didn't buy because of something in their personal situation, like a lack of money or no time right now, or whatever. And this tip comes from positive psychology, a field developed by Martin Seligman. Now, the second tip is to maintain a 3-to-1 ratio of positive to negative experiences. And what that means is you don't want every single social interaction that you have in a day to be a rejection. You want to have at least 3 positive experiences for every 1 negative experience. For example, Norman Hull, the salesperson we mentioned before, he often visits with old customers who are friendly to him and with acquaintances he knows throughout the city in between his sales rejections. So to summarize this lesson, to succeed in selling, you must meet with lots of prospects and not be devastated by the predictable rejections. How? Learn to explain the failures in an optimistic style, as not being your fault and not being permanent. And also, try to have at least 3 positive experiences for every 1 negative one. Now, lesson 5 is simplify their decision, helping them think clearly about the problem, solution, and next step. Sales is all about helping the buyer think clearly so they take the right action. And here are 3 big ways that you can do that. First way is to help them find clarity on their problem. So sales used to be about problem solving. In other words, the customer knew they had a problem, and the salesperson came and tried to sell them a solution to a problem they know they had. But now it's a lot easier to research solutions online by ourselves, so sales has become more about problem finding. Problem finding is about helping the customer to see their situation differently and even make them become aware of problems they did not even know they had. For example, a window salesperson could visit a homeowner and explain to them how they are losing hundreds of dollars every year because of their old windows, which cause increased energy bills, like for heating or air conditioning. You see, that's a hidden problem that the homeowner may not have even known about. So that's kind of the difference between problem solving and problem finding, making people aware of problems that your solution can solve. Now, possibly the most important sales book of the last 50 years was called Spin Selling, because it described a method of making larger sales that was based on research. And in my opinion, the most important part of that book was called Implication Questions. Now, implication questions are questions that take a problem that the prospect has and then explore all of its implications or consequences or side effects. Implication questions are really about increasing the size of the problem in the prospect's mind so that your solution to their problem also increases in perceived value, and that makes it easier to make the sale. For example, a business owner may hesitate to pay a lot of money for an expensive new computer system. But if the salesperson first asked them some good questions that highlighted how much their old system was costing them in time, in money, and stress, then they would be much more willing to pay the money for that new system. You can learn more ideas about spin selling in our summary of the book Spin Selling by Neil Rackham. Okay, so let's move on to a bit of a different idea. Another part of sales is helping the prospect think clearly about your solution. So this is about having a short, compelling pitch that communicates the idea of your product or business. In our increasingly distracted world, sales and marketing must become more and more focused and condensed. And there are some great exercises mentioned by Daniel Pink. Here are a couple. Could you explain why someone should buy from you in just one sentence that could fit into an email subject line? Or could you even condense what your company should be known for into just one word? For example, in the car industry, Volvo equals safety, Toyota equals reliability, and Mercedes-Benz equals luxury. Okay, now we're going to move on to another different idea, which is that sales is also about helping them find clarity on what to do next. You always want to give prospects a clear call to action so they have no confusion about how they can buy or what they should do next. One study found that college kids donated 3 times more food to a charity when they were given specific directions about what to give and also a map of where to go. And personally, as someone who studied a lot of digital marketing, I can tell you that one of the most important ideas in online business is to have a clear call to action. Large tech companies like Amazon and Google, they spend millions of dollars every year trying to make more people click on their buttons, like the buy button. And they run endless marketing experiments and studies to find out what is the perfect size, shape, color, and position for those buttons and those call to actions. So let's summarize this last lesson. Selling effectively is about providing clarity. You can ask questions to help the prospect become aware of new problems, problems that your product can solve. You can create a super short sales pitch for why people should buy from you. You can also provide simple, specific directions of what they need to do next. So these are 3 different types of clarity that can improve your effectiveness in selling. Okay, so let's finish up quickly with 3 practical action steps for how we could apply this book to our lives. Action step number 1 is to write down a list of 5 noble motives. So if you need to motivate others to buy something, then come up with 5 unselfish reasons for why they should. Or if you need to get motivated yourself to do something, then make a list of 5 reasons why achieving your goals will be good, not for you, but for your family, community, society, or the planet. Now, this approach of appealing to our nobler motives, that appeals to our desired self-image or how we want to see ourselves. I think too often, like, marketing advice focuses so much on those selfish motivations, but hearing too much about that is really a turnoff to many of us. Okay, action step number 2 is wait 5 seconds before replying after someone finishes speaking. This is one of the best ways to improve your attunement and listening skills. It's by slowing way down. As the self-help legend Stephen Covey wrote, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or preparing to speak." End quote. So this technique from improv theater can help us to break that habit. Wait 5 seconds before replying. Action step number 3 is to provide step-by-step directions. So if you want to be more persuasive, then try doing this. In your next email that's making a request from someone, finish off by telling them exactly what you want them to do. For example, step 1, click this link. Step 2, fill out the form on that page. Step 3, email me confirmation. And breaking it down into these little steps may sound almost childish, but I bet most people will probably appreciate you making their life simpler and easier like that. And studies show they'll be more likely to actually take the action. Okay, so I hope you found this summary useful, and I'll see you in the next one.